Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. The answer is no. We do not have a baby yet. I actually texted Sarah this morning about 7 o'clock, and I said, honey, I'm ready to preach this morning. Am I going to preach, or do I need to get somebody to preach for me? And she texted me back and said, sadly, you, Dad. So, it's kind of ironic, you know, 2.5 weeks ago, the doctor told her, any moment. I'm not sure why they do that, because when you're having your first child, you know, you believe the doctor. I mean, when I had my first baby, I believed the doctor when he said that. And that was a little bit funny, I thought. I'm sorry. You know, I remember they told Arlene that same thing. But we'll just patiently wait, or impatiently wait, I guess I should say. And we'll be ready for that when it comes. Hey, next week, I don't know if you saw it during the announcement time with the slides. Next week, we're starting a brand new teaching series entitled Moving Beyond Your Past. Okay, moving beyond your past. Bible has a lot to say to us about that. And you know, whether you're here this morning and you have a pristine past, you know, if your past was full of nothing but fond memories and blessings, we need to learn how to move forward and to allow God to bless us the way that He wants us to. But like most of us here, I would think that we all have something in our past that's hurtful and damaging and is a baggage. And we're going to be talking a lot about that, too, starting next week, moving beyond your past. So join us for that and bring family and friends that might be able to benefit from that. But today, we're going to finish up this series that we've been talking about, toxic, okay? Remember, we started that first week, we talked about toxic thoughts, how we need to overcome and be motivated by good thoughts within ourselves, that our thoughts are indicative of who we're becoming. That second week, we talked about toxic influences, okay, how we allow stuff in our lives and things in our life to influence us, and many times it leads us down the wrong path. That third week, we talked to you about toxic relationships, good company corrupts bad morals. And how important it was that we pay attention to that. Last week I talked to you about toxic words, and how the words are the rudder of our ship, and we need to change our words into the words that God wants us to speak if we want our ship to go to the destination that He wants it to go. I'd like to finish this up today by talking to you about, maybe it's an unusual subject for some of us, toxic religion. I mean, it kind of sounds like two words that you wouldn't put together, right? Sounds like, you know, something that doesn't go together, like jumbo shrimp. You ever thought about that? You know, how in the world can you, they just don't go together. Toxic religion. Jesus had a lot to say about our faith, about our understanding of who He is, who He was, and what He wanted to do for us. And he had his harshest criticism for people in his day that he thought were perverting his message, his gospel. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way in Galatians chapter 1 in verse 6. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Isn't that interesting? The book of Galatians was written to Christians, people like you and I, people that were struggling in a culture that was trying to take the attention away from people that had put their faith in God. And here Paul says that he was astonished that people were so quickly, so easily, he uses the word deserting the one who called them by the grace of Christ, and they are thereby turning to a different gospel. But here's the thing, in their mind, it wasn't a different gospel. But in Jesus' mind, in the mind of the Apostle Paul, they were doing something to the message of God that was changing it. and making it something different. Matter of fact, in this very next verse, he continues and says, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now think about that. He uses the term here, pervert or perversion. The Greek word here literally means to corrupt, to distort, or another word that they use to describe the meaning, the definition of this word is poison. Trying to poison the gospel of Christ. Folks, I think that we live in a time where this is going on a lot today. So I want to take these next few minutes, and I want to give you some good news, bad news, okay? Some good news, bad news about this passage of Scripture and what he's trying to say to us. In other words, how do we make sure that we have the kind of faith that if Jesus would see our faith, that he would be impressed with the kind of faith that we had? That if God were to come down and look at us and look at our life life in him, that he would say, you know what? That's exactly the way I want people to live. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's really hard to be that confident about who we are and whose we are. So I want to give you some good news, bad news about this idea of making sure that we don't have a toxic religion, that we don't have a faith that is different than God wants it to be. Now this whole good news and bad news, good news and bad news thing. Now Chris scared me a little bit there. Evidently she didn't like my jokes, but I'm not going to run them by her again. I'll see what you think, okay? Did you ever hear the good news, bad news? The secretary says to the pastor, and the secretary tells the pastor, said, "The pastor, I got some good news and bad news for you." He said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, the bad news, or the good news is that Miss Jones is wild about your sermons." Okay, well, what's the bad news? And she said, "Well, her favorite show is The Gong Show, and her favorite movie is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre," right? Right, okay. Or the secretary says to the pastor, "Pastor, I got good news and bad news." "Really?" "Yeah, the good news is our women's softball team finally won a game. But the bad news is they beat our men's softball team." Right? Good news and then bad news. Jerry, good news, a lawyer is talking to his client, and he says to his client, says, "I got some good news and bad news for you." And the client said, "Well, give me the bad news first." And the lawyer says, "Well, the bad news is they found your DNA and your blood all over the crime scene." And the guy says, "Oh my goodness, I'm ruined. What's the good news?" And the good news, the lawyer said, "The good news is that your cholesterol is down to 120. Now that one was borderline, I understand, okay? Do you hear the one about the guy was in the hospital and he'd had a terrible accident, broke both of his legs very badly, and the doctor came in and said, "I've got good news and bad news." And the guy says, "Okay, give me the bad news first." And the doctor says, "I think that we're gonna have to remove your legs." He said, "Oh my goodness, how can there be any good news?" He says, "Well, the good news is the guy next to you in the bed, he wants to buy your tennis shoes." Yeah, that one's really bad, I know. All right, I saved the best one to last, okay? Here you go. Wife says, "Honey, I got some good news and bad news." And so the guy says, "Well, what is it?" And the wife says, "Well, I'm losing my voice." And the husband says, "Well, what's the bad news?" Good news, bad news. Jesus has some good news, bad news for us. And it's about your faith. It's about your religion. It's about the authenticity of who you are in Christ. And I think it's a subject that you and I really need to pay some close attention to today. So let's start with the bad news here this morning. Here, let me illustrate it with a passage of Scripture. Jesus says this. This is a quote from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." I want you to notice two words in this verse of Scripture. It's the words outside and inside. Jesus' criticism here to the Pharisees, he said, "You pay attention, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, But inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Now, what he's saying here is that we need to pay attention to this idea about inside, outside. You know, are we able to look out the window of our soul and who we are and realize what's really in there, what's really inside of us? Do we understand what is on the inside of us that's motivating outwardly who we are and what we are inside and outside? You see, because here's the bad news. It is so easy to fall victim to what I want to call this focusing on the external rather than on the internal. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Let me ask you a question, folks. Who you are that you project to the people around you? Who you are to the people that are seated around you here this morning? Is that really you? You know, it is so easy, isn't it, in our faith in God, in our understanding of a religious life, it is so easy to live a life that is not authentic, to be affected in such a terrible way by the things that are outside our life that would make us think that we are someone who we are not. Let me tell you a good story to help you understand this. Just not long ago, I was actually fishing in the river. You know, it was one of those first days that it was warm enough to do that, and I was wading in the water, and I'd gotten in the side of the water, and I'd walked through some you know, some sandy silt kind of rocky soil, and I sank in, you know, I wear just a pair of tennis shoes, and it had gotten over my shoes, and this sand and rocks and pebbles and things had gotten down in my shoes and down in my socks. And you know, and then I finished and I left, you know, and I'm walking like, man, this is like uncomfortable. I got this stuff in my shoes and up in my toes and it's prickly and hard to walk on. I'm going straight home. I'll take this off and clean them out when I get home. So I get in my truck and I'm on my way back home. And on my way home, I decided that, you know, I needed something from the store. So I was in Walmart actually, and it's kind of late in the evening. I was walking down the aisles of Walmart and I'm like, you know, I'm trying not to appear, you know, hurt or crippled or anything. And I see somebody, I see actually one of you in Walmart there late that night. And they're like, "Hey, Pastor John, how are you?" And I'm like, "I'm okay. You know, how are you doing?" And like, "You okay?" "Oh, I'm fine," you know, and I'm trying to stand and comfortable, you know, and I don't want them to look down. I'm trying to keep a conversation so they don't look down at my feet. You know, I want them to look and see my muddy, nasty, you know, feet and got the pebbles and the sand. And so we had this conversation, you know, and they're like, "How are you?" I'm real great. "What are you doing?" "I'm just picking a couple things up. I'm on my way home," and all this, you know. And after, you know, we said bye, and I tried to just walk as normally as I could away. And I went and got in my car. I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's killing me." So I get home and I take my shoes off. My socks that I had on, they were so bad, I just took them off and I just threw them in the trash. Then it was like, you know what, I'm not even going to put these in the laundry. I just threw them away. I got 50 pair of these little socks and just threw them away. I rinsed my shoes out, got all the sand, all of the pebbles and stuff out of it, and put my shoes on the porch to dry off, and then, you know, put them on the next day, and they were great. But a lot of times I think that's the way we are. We got these things on the inside of us. It's just kind of eating us up, causing us to be uncomfortable. But we want to appear a certain way to the people that we are encountering. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, when I say to you, inside, outside. You know, do we understand this idea of we clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside we're still full of greed and self-indulgence? In other words, we're something, you know, that God wouldn't want us to be and wouldn't even recognize. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." Let me show you another passage of scripture. It comes from Luke chapter 18 in verse number 9. It's an awesome passage of scripture. Jesus is talking again here. And he says to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Isn't this interesting? Jesus told this parable. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Do you know what parable it is? You see, before we get into the parable, I think you need to understand, you need to notice, you need to comprehend, you need to embrace here what Jesus says. Jesus says that he was in the presence of some people who were confident of their own righteousness, and they looked down on some other people. No, looked down on everybody else, Jesus said. And here's the thing, the people he was talking about here were the people, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. The people that thought they had everything together, that think they understand everything. And what he's saying is that you guys have perverted the gospel of Christ. And you are not living the kind of faith that I desire of you to live. Now, let me just finish. I don't have the whole parable up here, but let me give you the gist of what he's saying here. If you remember this parable, Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, looked down on everybody else, Jesus told them this parable. There were two men that went up to the temple to pray. Isn't that awesome? Two men that went up to the temple to pray. He said one was a Pharisee, and when he got there, the Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like robbers and evildoers and adulterers and tax collectors. The other guy was a tax collector. I'm not like any of those. And then he continues to brag about his faith in God. And he said that I fast two times a week. Now think about that. What he's doing there, Jesus is using hyperbole. You know, you'd be impressed with somebody that fasts once a week, right? I mean, I'm impressed with people that fast ever, right? This guy says, I fast twice a week. Think about that. And then he says, and I give 10% of my income to the Lord. This guy's just going on and on and on and on. Here's the thing, folks. Your spiritual bragging falls on deaf ears in heaven. And Jesus is saying here that you don't want this kind of faith, that you have to tell people that you are holy and tell people that you are righteous and tell people how much you give and tell people how your life is such an example of Christian maturity. This is what I like to call look at me pride. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he said, don't be like the Pharisees who stand on the street corner and give their gift blowing a trumpet and announcing how much they give. But he says, go into your closet. You know, and what you ask your Father for in secret, he will give to you. You see, folks, a braggadocious faith is not a real faith. It's not a real faith. That's what Jesus is saying. And the bad news here is that if that's what you're depending on, you will come up lacking. If you are focusing on the external rather than on the internal, it will come up lacking. If you are promoting this kind of look at me pride, this kind of spiritual pride, it will not get you anywhere in the kingdom of God. Now, that's the bad news. Okay? Here's the good news. Here's the good news. Let me share the good news with you because it is so important that we understand this from this particular perspective. First of all, let me give you a passage of scripture, Romans chapter 3 in verse 20. It's not on the screen, but let me read it for you. He says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's three parts of the good news from that passage I want to share with you this morning. Here's the first thing. God doesn't like you more because you keep the rules. Now, all of us that are here this morning, we've been part of the kingdom of God for a long time. You need to know this. You need to understand this. You need to accept this. God doesn't like you more because you keep the rules. You know, being the youngest of several children, I remember telling my siblings when we were kind of younger, I said, guys, mom likes me most. Just deal with it. You know, most younger children in the family, we kind of feel that way, don't we? Any other younger family people here? Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't want to be anything else, by the way. But you know, that kind of arrogance, it doesn't do very much with your relationship with your siblings, okay? All right? It doesn't do very, very much that way. And you know, we can laugh about it now, but it really is easy to think that way, isn't it? You know, and think about it, in the kingdom of God, you know, we're one of many children. And if we think that we're living a life that is exemplary, we think we're living a life that God would approve of, we think we're living a good life that brings Him glory and honor and praise, it's really easy to think that God likes us more. Especially when you compare yourself to somebody of the world or somebody that's a notorious sinner or somebody that's, you know, really doing things that are not good and not right and not proper. But here's the thing, folks, and this is good news. God doesn't love you anymore because you keep all the rules. God loves everybody the same. God's grace is apparent, and God's grace is available for everyone in the exact same measure all the time. And you know what? Sometimes when we fall into this idea of toxic religion, when we fall into this idea of being dogmatic and being judgmental and being legalistic, when we live that way, when we develop a faith that makes us closer to a New Testament Pharisee than a New Testament Christian, it's real easy to think that way, and it's good news. It's freeing when finally you realize that God doesn't like you more just because you keep the rules. Matter of fact, He says it this way. In this particular passage, that no one will be declared righteous in His sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, here's the second thing, we become conscious of sin. The purpose of the law was to show that you need a Savior. You see, the guys in the old, the people in the Old Testament and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they never really understood this. They thought that by keeping the law, they could become justified in the presence of God, and that their faith could be found pure and good because of their keeping of the law. And Jesus was so clear in his teaching that that's just not the case. Romans chapter 3 says that through the law we become conscious of sin. For now, righteousness from a God apart from the law has been made known. Think about that. A righteousness from God has been made known apart from the law. You see, the law just showed us that we were a rule breaker, that we were a law breaker. The law simply highlighted how much we and everyone that's ever lived needs a Savior. And folks, that's good news, because Christ is our Savior. And then the third part of this good news is this, righteousness with God comes by faith in Christ alone. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, Romans 3, verse 22. That we are saved by grace through faith. It's a free gift of God. Folks, that's wonderful news. And here's the beauty of this, folks. As a faithful person in God, the bad news is that if we give in to this dogmatic, legalistic, trying to do things that simply please God and think that that's what saves us, all it gets us is it helps us to focus on the external rather than the internal. It promotes this spiritual pride, this look at me kind of pride that takes us further away from God rather than closer to Him. But when we embrace the pure, beautiful faith in Jesus Christ, through His grace and through His mercy, we experience the gospel. We experience real good news. What's the good news? The good news that God doesn't like us just because we keep the rules. That the purpose of the law was to show us that we need a Savior. That righteousness with God comes by faith in Christ, not in and of ourselves. Now, let's go back to that parable. Because, you know, I explained to you about who two went to the temple to pray. The Pharisees said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a robber. I'm not an evildoer, an adulterer. I'm not like this tax collector. I give 10% of my wealth. I fast twice a week. And then it says this. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. I want you to highlight that last sentence in that verse. He says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other man, went home justified before God. Now, who was the other man? The other man was the Pharisee. The one that was self-righteous. The one that kept the law. I submit to you the one that had a toxic religion. Because he depended on something other than the saving, merciful, grace-filled love of Jesus Christ. But this man who stood at a distance, why? He stood at a distance because he didn't feel that he was worthy to be any closer. He was the guy that didn't even look to heaven because he was afraid that a holy and just God would be looking back at him. You ever do that? Did you ever live such a life that you didn't want to look your mom or your dad in the eye? Boy, I've done that. And you're afraid that they'll look back in your eyes with that all-knowing look and realize what's really inside of you. This guy knew who he was looking at. He said he couldn't even look to heaven because he knew that God was looking back at him. He beat his breast. He beat his chest. And he prayed the prayer that all of us need to pray. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I say to you today to contrast these two people as they stood before a holy and just God. One was the guy that everybody thought had the religion that everybody wanted, and really it was no religion at all, at least one that would get him anywhere. The other one was one that was criticized by the religious person in the room. And in reality, he was the one that God said that as these two men walked home, he was the one that would be justified. I ask you right now, as you go home today, who will you be? As I go home today, who will I be? Do you know what will determine that? What will determine that is who we thought we were before we came and what God did for us while we're here. Right? I mean, the Pharisee, his whole life was all about who he thought he was. And he was someone that he did not really want to be, but that's who he was because he had a toxic kind of religion. The other guy who came with humility and grace and who came with this humbleness that just put him down on his face before God, and he just simply, all he could say was to pray a prayer, God have mercy on me, a sinner. And he said that as those two guys walked away, who was justified? It was the latter rather than the former. So I ask you today, as we leave this place, which one will we be? And as we leave, may we choose to be the humble one that fell before God rather than the one that everybody would put on a pedestal as an example of a keeper of the law. Oh, my friends, it's so much better to be one that understands grace rather than one that keeps all the rules. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you today for this good news, bad news. Father, we do thank you for the bad news that simply tells us that that we have to have a faith, Lord, that really makes a difference in who we are. Lord, give us a faith that helps us to know the inside outside. That, Father, the outside is a true representation of what's inside. That, Lord, we would not adopt a toxic kind of religion that simply makes us live in certain ways so people will think certain things about us. But that, Lord, that we would be changed by your Spirit from the inside out. And that, Father, we would fight the notion, that we would fight the urge in life to focus on the external things rather than the internal. Lord, that we would fight the urge to promote any kind of spiritual pride, this look at me kind of pride. But that, Lord, we would just stand on the good news of the gospel. And the good news of the gospel is simply that you love us regardless. That, Lord, you gave us the law. You initiated the law so that we would know that we need a Savior. Lord, help us to know that. And that, Lord, our righteousness is not based on our own, but on the righteousness that we get through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, Father, bless us this morning with that wonderful good news. And, Lord, as we leave our place of worship today, just like those men left that place of worship so many years ago, as we leave this place of worship today, may you be able to say of us, that man, that woman, that young person leaves justified today because we have a humility that brings us to the throne of mercy and grace. God, may we choose to be that man, that woman this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, Christ.com.